Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
In 1921, Fatty Arbuckle, one of the biggest slapstick film stars at the height of his fame, was arrested in San Francisco for the rape and murder of an aspiring actress named Virginia Rappa. He was later acquitted, but the scandal essentially put an end to his career and continues to taint his legacy to this day. Film historian Steve Massa recently published a book that moves away from said scandal and rediscovers the films he starred in and directed. The book is called Rediscovering Roscoe. And so, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, it's a real pleasure for me to speak with you. We're going to be talking about a few things regarding silent film, including your book on Fatty Arbuckle. But before we do, before we actually get started on that, I wanted to start off with a very simple question. And feel free to answer it in whatever way you like. What is it that fascinates you about silent film? What fascinated you? Just a little bit about the origins of your fascination with silent film.
I think I'm a very visual person. So just that whole direct, and especially with silent comedy, it's so visually direct, you know. It's sort of you're hotwired right in to, as far as the information, you know, you just see it happen. And that I really respond to the visuals. So, you know, that's why silent film is such a great, you know, great joy for me.
And do you remember when you first came across it? I understand that, you know, for a long time, it's kind of difficult to, for some people, it may even be difficult to understand this, but obviously there was a time when films, it was very hard to watch the classics, and particularly difficult when it came to silent films.
That's true. I'm in my mid-60s, so I grew up, you know, I was born 1955, so in America, I was watching television all the time. And when I was a child, they had programs that were children's programs where they took silent comedy shorts, you know, Max Sennett shorts or different silent comedy shorts. They would take out all the titles and then they would have some kind of, well, not really, but it was supposed to be funny narration and funny music. And they would show the silent comedy shorts. And that's how I first saw them. And I became hooked right away. You know, I responded to them right away. And at the same time, I was watching Laurel and Hardy and Our Gang sound shorts on TV at the same time. So I could see some of the same people were in the sound films as well as the silent films. So I got really hooked as a kid, very young. And then as a teenager, I started seeing longer, actually the complete versions of the shorts and the actual features. I started seeing them on local PBS stations on television.
Yeah. And was that when you also discovered Fatty Arbuckle?
Well, you know, I didn't really discover Arbuckle until a little bit later because his films weren't shown on American television because there was still sort of a taint, you know, because of the scandal. So his films weren't really being readily shown. And I would, you know, when I first became interested in the films, it was Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. But it did lead to Arbuckle, especially because of Keaton, because Keaton worked with him. Keaton started appearing with Arbuckle. So that, you know, when I was reading and trying to find out as much information as I could about silent films and silent film comedy, I would find information about Fatty Arbuckle, but it was a little more difficult back then to see any of his films.
Yeah. So how would you introduce him to somebody who doesn't know anything about him?
That's a good question. I would not talk about the scandal, although that's how most people do know him, even if people don't know about film, because it really was the first celebrity scandal. But I would, you know, introduce him, just talk about how funny he is, you know, as a fat man, he's extremely light on his feet and he has amazing dexterity with props. You know, he can throw knives over his shoulder and they land point up, you know, without looking. And, you know, I would talk about what a great director he was, you know, a comedy creator. And he's one of the pioneers.
You sort of mentioned it earlier that perhaps that scandal did ruin his reputation. And even looking back on him now, it seems like of all of the greats in slapstick comedy at the time, yeah, when people mention his name, they immediately sort of think about what occurred with Virginia Rappa.
They think about the scandal. I mean, it's been it happened in 1921, so next year will be 100 years. But that's still what people think of, you know, immediately.
With this book that you wrote, and, you know, we should tell our listeners, it's called Rediscovering Roscoe, The Films of Fatty Arbuckle. It seems to me right from the title that what you are doing is essentially you're trying to sort of move away from that scandal and actually look at the films themselves. I mean, is that right?
Oh, yes, exactly. That's the real focus of the book. You know, there have been a number of books, but they focused on the scandal. You know, that was always the main event of the book. And often his career leading up to it, and especially his career afterward, was almost an afterthought. You know, the real focus was on the scandal. And many of his films survive and hold up extremely well. And, you know, I just felt it was very overdue to have a book that talked about the work and went film by film and really, you know, why should we watch his films? Why are, you know, are they still current? You know, is the work, and, you know, and his, give him his acknowledgement as a pioneer and a collaborator of Chaplin and Keaton, you know, and helping to create the foundations of silent comedy.
So how many films are we talking about then?
It's about, including the films he directed in the sound era, because he directed a lot of shorts. It's about 234.
And you know, that's, I presume that there are also many lost films of his too.
Oh, yes, yes. Of that 234, I would say about 150 exist.
Right.
Are known to exist, which is a pretty good batting average, especially for someone whose films were so reviled for a while. And, you know, some of them were destroyed. And a lot of them are very accessible.
Yeah. And we talked about accessibility, actually. I was wondering about, you know, your research and putting this book together. Where were you able to find these films?
Well, at various archives, in a lot of cases with the rare ones, like Library of Congress, the Museum of Modern Art. In 2006, Ron Magliozzi, who's one of the head curators of the film department at MoMA, Ben Modell, and myself, we did a Roscoe Arbuckle retrospective at the Museum of Modern Art, and it was a month-long retrospective. And we were able to gather a lot of the films from the world's archives when we did it. So I was able to see a number of the rare films during that time.
So how long would it have taken you to sort of put all that information together?
Well, when we did the retrospective in 2006, I started gathering information with an idea of doing a book about, you know, film by film. So I started gathering any kind of information, and I had already been gathering information on him because we were doing the retrospective. So I just continued over the years, and I've written a few other books, and I had written a few things for the Arbuckle, but I kind of put it away. And after I finished my previous book, which was called Slapstick Divas, about the women of silent comedy, I was going through notes and things, and I came across some of what I had written for the Arbuckle book and decided it was the right time to move ahead. And then it took about 2 years to just take all the information that I had gathered and, you know, process it all into the book.
You know, when we talk about his films, this might be a difficult question to answer, but can you think of any of, you know, landmark films of his that really stand out? Let's say, for example, that somebody, again, who wouldn't really be familiar with Fatty Arbuckle's movies, were to ask you if there was a film that's particularly good for starting out, which one would you recommend?
Sure. I think the film that I would recommend is, it's a 1916 short called The Waiter's Ball. And it really, I think it shows everything he could really do. You know, it's just a real crystallization of his strengths. That I would recommend. Another film that's very accessible I would recommend also is Fatty and Mabel Adrift, which is one of his, another Max Sennett comedy from 1916. 1916 was something of a peak for him. He really kind of came to fill a full fruition at that point. So I would recommend Waiter's Ball.
And any that particularly stand out as your favorites?
Well, Waiter's Ball. There's another one made from that period called His Wife's Mistake, which is a favorite of mine. His first film for the Comique Film Company, The Butcher Boy, is also a favorite of mine.
Steve, you mentioned that it impacted his career greatly and his legacy has been tainted as a result as well. But so we talked about some of the standout titles of his filmography, but what can you tell me about his output after The Scandal?
He wasn't allowed to appear on screen anymore. He had been directing his own films and, you know, involved in writing his films for years. So he just worked behind the camera. He started directing shorts for outfits like Educational Pictures. And at first, they didn't list any directors, completely anonymous. But then he did take the name William Goodrich. And then he directed films with comedians like Al St. John, Lloyd Hamilton, Lupino Lane. And he, in the 1920s, he did direct two features. He directed The Red Mill with Marion Davies and Special Delivery with Eddie Cantor. And when sound came in, he continued directing. He was directing shorts. And then eventually in 1932, he got the opportunity to appear on screen again for some shorts for Warner Brothers Vitaphone. And he made a comeback. He made six shorts for them and then unfortunately passed away due to a heart attack.
If we can bring it back to the book itself, just to give an mm-hmm. idea to the listeners of what is actually in the book. So are we going to be able to find a mix of, you know, historical information and critical evaluation, perhaps? I mean, what is it?
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of film history. I talk, you know, not only about Roscoe's life, but I do talk about the people that he worked with as well. You know, I document them, the people that were in his films or people behind the scenes like Max Sennett, the different producers and directors. And then because we do go film by film, for the films that exist, I do give a commentary and sort of my own take on each of the surviving films. With the films that aren't known to exist, I've tried to gather up as much information as possible from, you know, primary sources like the trade magazines and newspapers from the time. And I, with all the films, I include, you know, two or three reviews just to give you know, the way the films were received at the time.
And, you know, what occurred to me, actually, we were speaking earlier about how, you know, you were able to gather all of this information, different archives and all of that. But when you think about, you know, how your work as a film historian and scholar has evolved over the year in the process, do you feel like the newer technologies have helped you in any significant way?
Oh, I definitely think so. The internet, of course. The media history digital gallery is amazing. You know, they have digitized so many of the film periodicals from the time. And now, you know, you have that at your fingertips, and they have a lantern search where you can search under Roscoe Arbuckle or Fatty Arbuckle. I mean, you can really... A few years ago, you would have to go through the trade publications page by page. And now you can focus. So definitely the new technologies, I think, really added, you know, so much.
And in these days of coronavirus, we're definitely relying on technologies in more ways than once to stay connected, but also to keep discovering art and, of course, discovering movies and, of course, silent films as well, which brings me to the silent film comedy watch party. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. This is a show that Ben, pianist and historian Ben Modell, and I do on YouTube. We do it live. It's every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. That's New York time. And then it goes out live, but then it's archived on YouTube. And, you know, in mid-March, Ben and I do a lot of live performances of silent films. But we had all of our shows canceled, you know, because of the lockdown, the shutdown, because of the coronavirus. So we were sort of thinking, oh, we still want to stay in contact with our audiences. And of course, during a time like this, people need laughs. You need to see these films. You know, you need the diversion. So we really, I have to say, it was really Ben who figured out how we could do it technically, because he's a little bit of a genius in doing this. And he had been thinking about something virtual anyway. And it just seemed like the perfect time to go ahead. And the first weekend that everything started shutting down, we did our pilot just to see if we could get it out there, get it on the air. And we did. And, so we've been doing it. This Sunday will be the 29th episode. And, you know, we show sometimes three, sometimes two comedy shorts. And Ben plays live. And I give a lot of the background on the films, and then we discuss back and forth. You know, we have people all over the world. We get emails from Brazil and Norway, and people are watching it all over. And I do think, you know, people really do need something like this. You know, things can get a little grim, so it's good to have some fun.
That's true, yeah. What are some of the films that you have presented so far in this series?
I'm trying to think. We've done, we've shown some of the, you know, the well-known, we've tried to get a balance of well-known items like some of Charlie Chaplin's mutual films like The Adventurer, The Cure, or Buster Keaton shorts like One Week or Cops and Things, you know, with films that are lesser known, with comedians like Hank Mann or Mr. and Mrs. Carter DeHaven, you know, films that are very, very difficult to see. So we try to get a balance. You know, we try to lure people in with Charlie Chaplin and then show them Carter DeHaven, you know, which they've never seen before.
Hmm. You know, just maybe to end this conversation, and it's been fascinating so far. And, with this show, I speak with people from all over the world, and I kind of get an idea of what people are going through that way, the challenges. Mm. And some people have been telling me, however, that during these times, they've been able to be very productive and stay productive in several ways. And I wondered how you're living through it, how your studies and your works and your writing has been impacted on a personal level by the coronavirus.
Well, I've been lucky. I'm the type of person that likes to stay home and watch movies. So it's sort of worked that way. And of course, we were talking about the technology that we now have at our fingertips that we can stay in touch virtually. So as far as my work, I've been very busy. Doing an interview for the virtual Giornate, doing the silent comedy watch party. I've also done a few things for the Niles Film Museum. They've done a couple of online festivals where we've done Zoom webinars about, you know, various aspects of silent comedy. And I'm continuing to write. I have a new book that I'm working on. And Ben Modell and I also... we've done a number of we've put out DVDs that we do a Kickstarter for to fund. And currently we're working on a DVD of silent comedies that star the comedian Edward Everett Horton, which were produced by Harold Lloyd. They're 8 two-reelers. So we did a Kickstarter campaign, and we weren't sure with the coronavirus, but we ended up getting something like $22,000 to do this DVD. So that's currently in production. So I, you know, managed to be very productive, you know, during the shutdown.
That's great to hear. And Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for joining us. I remind our listeners that your book is called Rediscovering Roscoe, The Films of Fatty Arbuckle, and that they should check out the silent film comedy watch party as well. Definitely worth checking that out. So Steve, thanks very much.
Thank you, Matt. This was great.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.